report from the executive director. Of course, as we mentioned before, Carlos is not able to be with us, so Aaron Brandeberry will be giving Carlos his report. Aaron?
Thank you. And I will be reading this from Carlos's perspective, so I is Carlos.
Can you do a Peruvian accent?
I know. I should have practiced.
I told her the same thing.
I also said that if I could have had this sooner than this morning, we could have put it in AI, just like he delivered his July report, and then it would have been as if he was with us. So,
yeah.
All right, administration. During the last quarter, I attended the following meetings and activities. Special Education Advisory Council. The focus was on working on strategies to improve performance standards in Nebraska. As a part of this, they reviewed data and statistics and explained how to understand them. As I reported on a previous meeting, I raised the issue of improving Braille literacy in Nebraska. As a result, on January 9th, Commissioner Sean Lau and I met with the Director of Special Education, the Director of Low Incidence, and the Superintendent of the Nebraska Center for the Education of Children Who Are Blind and Visually Impaired, to discuss improving Braille literacy for the blind children in Nebraska. The meeting was positive, and we agreed to move forward with developing a strategy. Next meeting with all five of us will be on February 13th. NCSAB monthly meetings. We reviewed the evaluation results from the fall conference and discussed how to shape the 2025 spring conference. We also talked about some of the executive orders and how they might affect our services. Are blind people included in diversity, equity, and inclusion DEI efforts? Will accessibility policies for the blind be affected? In a separate Zoom meeting, we had a conversation regarding grant funds being froze and other political issues from the new administration. In a nutshell, as long as we don't receive any written directives from RSA, we should continue business as usual. We were all concerned about being able to draw our grants as state accounting handles that for us. There is a general feeling that the Department of Education might be dismantled. So far, any services that are a part of the statute cannot be overridden by an executive order. That would require an act of Congress. However, until Congress takes a look at it, the new administration can change how things are being run, as already dozens of employees were put on administrative leave. They work associated with diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility efforts. StarTran monthly meetings. Aside from approving a couple of plans, we also learned that the number of no-show complaints has decreased considerably. They currently have 103 bus drivers, just a couple short of a full staff. Last December, the advisory committee passed a resolution supporting the NBE to operate the vending contract in the new multimedia center. I will meet with the Director of Transportation on February 13th to discuss next steps. Olmsted Advisory and Committee Meetings. I attended the Employment Committee, where we discussed statistics on people with developmental disabilities, as we would like to see progress in quality integrated employment. At the Advisory Committee meeting, we heard a report from the Deputy Director of Health and Human Services regarding Medicaid, followed by a Q&A session. The main focus was the number of hours personal assistants are allowed to provide support. I attended the Dare to Be Remarkable conference in Baltimore, where I was one of the keynote speakers. The conference featured sessions on various topics using structured discovery. During December 2024, Tammy and I met with our budget analyst from the unicameral to begin developing a strategy to maintain our budget and create a support service provider program in Nebraska. I also met with a few state senators to discuss our services and the two issues mentioned above. As a result, Senator Dorn introduced LB 87 on January 10th to create an SSP program in Nebraska. The hearing took place on January 31st, 2025, with several consumers who came to show support, and four deaf-blind individuals provided powerful testimonies. A couple of senators commented that they would work to find ways to fund this program. On January 8th and February 4th, I attended the independent agencies, boards, and commissions meetings. On the first meeting, the focus was an update on the governor's recommendation to decrease the state budget for all agencies and propose legislation to combine several boards and commissions. In the governor's budget recommendation, NCBVI will not experience a cut, but will receive an increase of $107,000 for fiscal year 2025 and $111,000 for fiscal year 26 for health insurance and wage adjustments. However, there is no increase for the SSP program, as the governor's office believes we should have enough funds to run it. Additionally, NCBVI was not considered for consolidation, which reflects recognition of how well the agency is performing. On the second meeting, we got a report on some legislative bills that can affect most agencies. Two of them could affect NCBVI if passed. A legislative bill that does not have the number put in there as a placeholder, that wants to create an agency office funded by 1 or 2% of each agency budget to take a look at how effective we are with expending tax funds. And then another one is LV 634, which would put a sunset on all state agencies created by the legislatures. On January 22nd, I presented via Zoom and led the diversity conference at UNO, where I discussed the capabilities of the blind and the services we provide. On January 23rd, I attended the annual stakeholder meeting at NCECPVI. We made recommendations for the 2025 state plan. On January 27th, Tammy Dunn, Tim Jefferson, and I met with the State Building Division to discuss space needs for the Omaha office. The State Building Division is considering relocating all offices to a new location. It appears that the building is attracting interest from commercial realtors, and maintaining it has become costly due to its age. This is still under consideration, and a decision will be made after discussions with all the affected agencies. After the meeting, I went to the office of Lee Will, the DAS, Department of Administrative Services, Director and Chief Operating Officer, to advocate for the North Platte VR position that had been eliminated in December. Although I didn't meet with him, I was informed that they would contact state personnel. Tactile Images 3D Works currently has exhibits in 4 Nebraska museums, and the Great Plains Museum will be added in March. I have been invited by the American Association of Museums to speak about the initiatives at their annual conference, which will take place in Los Angeles, California from May 6th to the 9th. The business office update. We are making progress with the new student lounge. Estimated time of completion is by the end of February or the middle of March. We successfully closed the Basic Support 2023 grant, fully maximizing our federal funds, including reallotment. With the agency fully staffed and several projects in development, we anticipate expending all of federal fiscal year 2024 funds by the end of the fiscal year. This achievement reflects innovative ideas to advance our mission and the dedication of our hardworking staff. The current fiscal year's budget includes continued support for the SSP pilot project. Technology. Distributed Monarch Braille devices to staff and clients, and coordinated Monarch Braille device training for staff. The trainings were recorded and uploaded to YouTube. Audio versions of the training are also available. Due to file congestion on the NCBVI network drive, a separate network drive was created for the business office. Purchase new technology equipment for staff hires. Kathy Stevens. Completed the 2024 annual report and sent it to the governor and senators. It is also on file with the unicameral. Worked on updates to the NCBVI website as needed. Coordinated the creation of new and updated business cards for staff. Made arrangements for some staff to attend the Dare to Be Remarkable Conference, CSUN Assistive Technology Conference, and attend the 46th annual Black Hills Regional Ski for Light event in South Dakota. Human Resources, staff update. In the Omaha District, we hired Simon Zeb as a VR counselor, who started center training on January 6th. In the Lincoln District, Connie Daly announced her retirement date as of April 30th.
Really?
To recruit and train a replacement for this position, we posted the job opening. Shane Burrish applied and was offered the position. Shane will begin his OC duties in the Lincoln District once Connie leaves. At the center, we posted the Braille teaching position that Shane will be vacating. We hope to hire someone in advance so they can retreat, receive the training at the center, and be ready to teach shortly after Shane transitions to his new role. The vacancy for the VR position in North Platte was eliminated by the governor as a part of his 2024 executive order. After writing an appeal and having conversations with the Office of Lee Will, the Director of Administrative Services, and with state personnel, we were able to reopen this position as of last week. Other than that, we are now fully staffed in all areas. Training opportunities. Several counselors attended the Dare to Be Remarkable conference at the Jernigan Institute from November 11th through the 13th. This national conference on structure discovery is offered every few years. Crystal Demas and Tim Jefferson completed their training with the National Rehabilitation Leadership Institute, NRLI, in December of 2024. Nancy Kaufman and Jessica Bartenbach successfully passed the 2025 Freedom Scientific Jobs Exam. Tammy Dunn, Pam Rademacher, and Hugh Fan were accepted to participate in the 2025 NRLI. Their first session was this past week, February 3rd to the 7th. The state staff meeting is scheduled for March 4th through the 6th in Lexington. The mayor of Lexington, John Faggett, will be our keynote speaker. He is a blind individual who received services from our agency several years ago. Amy attended an in-service with the Autism Center staff. Caitlin attended three trainings, Valued Roles of Society Workshop, ESU 6 Interagency Collaboration, and ESU 6 Transportation Training and Transition Workshop. Several staff members participated in training on the use of the Monarch device. Jason completed his training through the Nebraska State Leadership Certificate courses. Field services. Winterfest was held in November with the training titled Blind Students Doing Forensics. This training demonstrated how blind students can learn science using adaptive equipment and software. It was conducted by Independent Science, an organization run by blind scientists. The Lincoln District continues to have GATE, and it is well attended. 9 high school age blind students attended a leadership advocacy event in Washington, D.C. this past week, February 1st through the 5th. Field staff continue working on building partnerships with stakeholders across Nebraska. These activities help us better understand businesses, teachers of blind students, and the community in general. Likewise, these stakeholders get us to know us better, which enables us to provide our services and find new opportunities for our clients. Some of these events that our field staff participated include, for Lincoln District, collaborated with Lincoln Public Schools, attended the Project Search Steering Committee meeting, and the Lay Advocate Update meeting, taught 2 classes at the Nebraska Center of Education of Children who are blind or visually impaired, attended the monthly Employee Columbus meetings and the Columbus United Way food security meeting, participated in the Spanish networking group in Fremont, and attended the Native American Heritage Month via Zoom, met with the Greater Lincoln Workforce Development Board, and toured the Lincoln Food Bank. In Omaha, attended the peer support group at Outlook Enterprises, met with the blind interagency team to support LB 87, pursued partnerships with the Kiewit Luminarium and the Durham Museum to strategically create employment opportunities for pre-employment transition students and members of the older deaf-blind communities. North Platte District met with ESU 10, connected with Summit Real Estate in Grand Island, collaborated with the Department of Labor Office in Lexington, engaged with Sydney High School, Independence Rising, Fort Meade Veterans Affairs, and the Brain Injury Alliance of Nebraska. Participated in the Northfield Retirement Community Health Fair, met with Hy-Vee. Participated in Employee Grand Island, Hastings, and Project Search at the Grand Island and Kearney sites. attended IEP meetings and networked with NCECBDI, Grand Island Central Catholic, and Alma High School. Provided in-service training to the Panhandle Public Health District employees. Client statistics. Number of clients and all statuses served at the end of the period. OIB clients were 474. IL clients under 55 is 70. And VR clients is 412. We had consumers obtain jobs as child care worker, customer service representative, fabric and apparel pattern maker, farmer rancher, fitness instructor trainer, janitor cleaner, management analyst, market research analyst, Randolph Shepherd operator, receptionist information clerk, registered nurse, and a secondary education teacher. Training center. As of January 27th, we have 9 individuals attending training, 6 VR consumers, including 3 that are pre-eds, 2 OIB consumers, and 1 staff trainee. We expect another consumer to begin training on February 10th, which will bring our enrollment to 10. During this quarter, 5 consumers toured the center, and 2 have 3-day stays. Activities include shopping at Nebraska Crossing and a Secret Santa gift exchange. Nikki Jackson and Karen Anderson from the NFB Jernigan Institute conducted a 2-day vocational workshop December 10th through the 11th. Monthly virtual vocational seminars continue. The National Blindness Professional Certification Board, NBPCB, sent Becky Keller and Jimmy Morris for our triennial recertification visit on December 12th through the 13th. Their report was submitted to NBPCB for review, and we were granted the full 3-year recertification. Center staff are participating in a virtual 5-part training series conducted by NBPCB, focusing on working with consumers with multiple disabilities. Nebraska Business Enterprise. NBE has recently completed the launch of the new micro market location at the U.S. Stratcom building. NBE now oversees the operation of 2 micro markets, vending machines, and the dining facility inside the building. Due to the addition of another micro market, NBE will be seeking permission to reduce the number of vending machines in the building. The micro markets are able to accept credit card purchases, something that the vending machines cannot do at this location due to their reliance on cellular signal. This has led to reduced use of the vending machines. NBE continues to work with U.S. Stratcom on the upgrade remodel of the cafeteria area. State building. The project to combine 2 existing USCIS facilities in Lincoln into 1 location has been delayed. The projected occupancy date for the facility is no longer this March, but instead fall of 2025. NBE currently services both Lincoln USCIS facilities and is working with GSA on a new location, which will utilize a micro market concept. Vendors, we currently have 16 individuals actively servicing routes, with 1 individual currently in training. At the last NBE Blind Licensee Committee meeting in September, 4 of the 16 vendors mentioned above received their licenses. NBE has received some complaints over the last quarter regarding understocked vending machines and micro markets. NBE staff continue to work with these vendors to understand why these sites are so underserviced and devise plans to assist vendors in managing sites so that this does not continue to be an issue. NBE is working on implementing management software that is a companion to NCBVI's existing client management software, AWARE. And federal fiscal year 2025 data is being entered into the system as it occurs. For NBE to make best use of this system, no less than 5 years back data needs to be entered, as well as information on all vending machines. This is a time-consuming process that must be manually entered. And that concludes Carlos's report.
Minus the accent.
Thank you very much, Erin. Does the board have any questions for her?
Yes, I do.
Patty?
Erin, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, and if it isn't, just say no.
Here's the microphone.
Okay. I'm interested in finding out more about the vacant Braille teacher position at the center. Has that been filled? Shane's position?
Yes. We are pending formal offer is where the live status update is. So we can't announce anything or anything until we have a full official permanent offer accepted. But yes, that is, we conducted interviews just this past week on Wednesday. And so it is very fresh in that process.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
This is Miguel. Does the Braille instructor need to have some type of certification?
How the classification and job posting is that if they do not possess a CVR-CV, which is provided through the 600 hours of training at our center, or UEB certification, we ask that that be completed within 1 year of employment.
Okay. When I was at that ATIA conference, they mentioned that majority of the state's libraries can provide free Braille readers. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It's such a great service. Yep.
Oh, great. And so my other question is the Monarch going to be a thing that we are going to be providing the clients, or is that going to be way in the future?
We did provide, when we had extra funds to be obligating at the end of the last fiscal year, we did go out to counselors and say, is there anybody that can benefit from this? And so we did purchase quite a few Monarchs. Moving forward, unless we end up having quite a bit of funds that you know, for our discretion a little bit more liberally, I guess. Everything will be following our internal policy on Braille devices, which means you need to be fluent in reading Braille at a certain word per minute rate and things like that to make sure it is a quality purchase that should be made.
Has it been a good feedback, the users of the Monarch?
Yes, I think that our staff love it. That's, of course, what I get to hear the most about. Such an exciting Braille device for them to get their hands on, and tons to learn on it. So I think we're only using a fraction of it so far as staff are getting familiar with the device and learning it. There are a few clients who tried it out and decided not to keep it, and so they've returned it to NCBVA, and we quickly find new homes for people who can benefit for them. So a little bit mixed, but the people who have a need really seem to be appreciating it. I'm excited to see the students in the schools who were working closely with their TDIs, what amazing gains they make, you know, getting to use them in their science and math classes for more comprehensive Braille literacy in those courses.
Oh, great. I just wanted to mention also that you could be a great AI voice.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board?
I have one, actually. Going back to the list of bills that they put out there, Carlos had sent those to us in advance, and there was another one on there that I thought particularly could really seriously affect the commission. So I was a little surprised he didn't put it on there, but I believe it was LB 844 where it mentioned that deputy directors would be appointed by the governor with the intent that in the future switching that over to executive directors as well.
Cool. Heard that one.
Yeah, which obviously seriously affect us because a big part of what the commission board itself does is, you know, maintaining the executive director. So
I will make note of that to ask him and see if he can follow up when he is returned.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions for him?
I just have a comment.
Yes,
Linda. Do I need the mic or can I yell? I'm just really impressed with the fact that we're about fully staffed. That just, you know, that speaks volumes for the agency's work and those who are involved. And every time I read the staff report, the all-staff report, and Carlos's report, and, you know, even hearing Eric today with a more in-depth report on the NBE. I just think, you know, we are really involved in improving the lives of blind people in Nebraska, and I'm glad that, you know, the government powers that be, whatever, are seeing that, because this is just tremendous. And I'm pleased not only to be a member of the Board of Commissioners, but also to be on the Friends Board, just to support the agency. I think it's great.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you very
much.
Yeah,
it has been such a
I echo her remarks.
Yeah, thank you.
I think the whole board echoes those remarks, to be honest with you.
I really do want to give kudos to Carlos, too, because he, the second that VR counselor position in North Platte was eliminated, he was like, what can we do for it? He supported our agency. He took advantage of every opportunity for him to be talking to people, sent the emails multiple times, even though they went nowhere. And that perseverance paid off, and we got it back. At least for now, now that the task is to fill the role, they really gave us until the end of spring, I think, to evaluate if we get it, and then it could be up for elimination again. So Crystal Demas, again, super passionate. She has been a really good advocate and worked with her team on how to get that role back. And we made flyers. We were hanging them up. We were going old school on how to fill this position. And so her team has gone boots on the ground to try to get awareness of that position so we can get some quality applicants when we go around.
Thank you very much, Erin. Next item on the report is the Newsline update. Kathy?